Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Delighted to have you on board with Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Looking forward to what God is going to say and do through this broadcast. I pray always that it's a blessing to you, that it's something that's informative, something that also triggers your imagination and your thoughts as to the reality of what is happening in our world today. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we as believers are not just to stay secluded and sequestered into the closets of our prayer room or in the closets of the church. We're to be out in the world as salt and light. And as salt and light, we're to be have an effect on the society in which we live in. Salt is designed to be a preservative. Light is, is to cast out darkness. And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that that's what you are today, is salt and light as believers. And may I remind us again, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. We do so based on the teachings of Scripture. We do so based on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17, 17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, when we face issues, let me challenge you to face them based on your knowledge of the Word of God. This is the reason I say to everybody, we need to study the Word, know the Word, meditate on the Word, inculcate the Word in our lives. Let the Word of God be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway, that God would have it to be, that we will have an answer, that we'll be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear, as the Scripture tells us that we ought to do. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you join us today in this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues, we're going to be talking about our ebbing freedoms. And we're talking specifically, ladies and gentlemen, about our Bill of Rights. And I think that every Christian, every child of God, every believer ought to be concerned about our Bill of Rights. We need to be concerned about our constitutional republic, the form of government that we have. The Scripture is very, very clear in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, that we have the responsibility. Paul said to Timothy, "I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplication and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men." So we need to be thankful for our leaders in America. We need to be thankful for the leadership in Tallahassee and in Jacksonville and in Washington. And then the Scripture says, for all men. And then it specifically says, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture is clear. When you break that text down and you analyze it, we need to pray for those that rule over us. We need to pray for those that are in authority. We need to pray for those that have just been elected, and in particular, that we might have a quiet and peaceable life. The connotation is, and the obverse of that is, that if we do not pray for them, do not take a stand as salt and light, that we're not going to have a quiet and peaceable life. And that's part of what I want to talk about today. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news, partially, I think. That is, the election is over. But let me remind us, the result of the election will be with us across America for years to come. The good news is that the supervisor of election, Snipes, in Broward County just announced Sunday that she is resigning and will vacate her office by January the 3rd of 2019. Well, that might sound good on the surface, but ladies and gentlemen, I think she needs to resign immediately. And I believe that the FDLE, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, needs to escort her out of the office. All records and all files need to be sealed and left there for Pam Bondi's investigation that the Attorney General Pam Bondi has just announced that she is asking for a full-fledged investigation of the fraud that took place, the proposed fraud. She's opened up a hotline for witnesses, for anybody in the state of Florida to call in with information and or evidence and or referrals. And she's got the FDLE involved in, and her staff involved in a full-fledged investigation of what just took place in the state of Florida. We've become, again, the laughing stock of the world in relationship to elections. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Snipes, the supervisor of election in Broward County, and perhaps even the supervisor of election over in Palm Beach County, need to both be removed summarily, immediately. And everything that is public property, all files and records and so forth, sealed and kept there so that it can be fully investigated. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the good news is that we have Senator Rick Scott rather than Bill Nelson. We have Ron DeSantis rather than Andrew Gillum. God, thank you. Thank you is all I can say publicly and privately, that God gave us Ron DeSantis rather than the socialist, leftist, anarchist Andrew Gillum. And Ron DeSantis, first thing on his agenda, ladies and gentlemen, is to appoint three Florida Supreme Court justices. Ladies and gentlemen, that will have far-reaching effect, far greater, far longer than just Ron DeSantis' governorship if he is elected and then reelected 8 years. For the next 30 or 40 years, it'll make a difference in the state of Florida as to who we have seated in the highest court in the state, and that is the Supreme Court. There are three openings that Ron DeSantis will need to appoint justices for. But ladies and gentlemen, the real future danger of all of Florida and for the United States of America, but I'm talking today specifically about Florida and in general about the across the nation when it comes to our Second Amendment rights. Advocates should be very, very gravely concerned over the election results in the state of Florida. Let me tell you why. Matt Caldwell was the conservative Republican that was officially elected as Commissioner of Agriculture until the recount of the recounts took place in the Florida ballots. It was a recount by machine, then a recount by hand, and with the manipulation, in fact, Commissioner, the one that supervised election Snipes in Broward County, stated again in an interview yesterday that 2,000 missing votes are not missing there, quote, and I'm quoting her, they're someplace in this building. Well, maybe in the trunk of an Avis rental car someplace at the airport, as they found one entire blue basket box full of ballots that they discovered by someone that was at Avis rental car. I don't know where those ballots are, but my contention is they're not someplace in the box in the closet anymore. They were shuffled into the regular ballots when the recount was done, and that's the only thing that took place because as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, the lobbyist for medical marijuana and the lobbyist for the gun control, if you will, Nikki Fried, is the one that was declared the winner. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm delighted. I'm thankful. I don't want to diminish my thanksgiving and praise to God for the answer to mega millions of prayers in the state of Florida that gave us the senator's race and the governor's race into conservative hands. But ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Fried is a fiasco on steroids. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, she is a puppet for the John Morgan Law Firm and the medical marijuana push in the state of Florida. She is an advocate against anything that would be called Second Amendment rights. So perhaps you say, what about Nikki Fried? She's 100% against the Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen. She is an absolute danger to the Second Amendment rights in the state of Florida. What are the Second Amendment rights? What does our Second Amendment say? The Second Amendment says, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, not to be infringed upon, and shall not be infringed. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just use an illustration. Let's say that you have the right to own an automobile, and the law says you got to keep the automobile. You can buy an automobile. You can own one. You can have it. That's wonderful. You can buy an automobile, but you got to keep it in your garage. Secondly, the law then becomes amended, says you can't buy gasoline for it, but you have the right to buy a car. And thirdly, the law becomes amended that says your car must have the wheels taken off so that it cannot readily be put on the road, because if it's readily able to be on the road, it will be a danger to people that you might run over somebody. And then fourthly, that same law that says you can keep the car, it must be locked in your garage, you must have the tires off of it, you can't put gas in it. Secondly, and fourthly, that law is amended, says you can't even have the keys in the car, you must have the keys in a lockbox inside your house, and you must be able to have a key to that lock to get into the lockbox that others can't get into, because after all, if they can do that, they can turn the car on, put the tires on, put gas in it, drive the car down the road, and it might kill somebody. That's exactly what we're doing to have Second Amendment right. In fact, in my book, The Right to Keep and Bear Arms, one writer put it, and I quoted him, a disarmed people are neither free nor safe. They become the prey of criminals and the playthings of tyrants. In fact, a professor of law had written a book, Death by Government, and the professor wrote these words, consecrated political power is the most dangerous power on earth. For the power to concentrate and become dangerous, the citizens must first be disarmed. It is the idea of gun control that will disarm our citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't put it any more powerfully. I can't state it any more clearly than the fact that we're on the road of danger with Nikki Fried now being the Commissioner of Agriculture in the state of Florida. In fact, here's an article that says it very, very well. Under Florida law, the state's agriculture commissioner is the issuer and manager of concealed weapons license and permits, and conservative Republicans with an A-plus rating from the NRA have held this office for a very long time. Following the February 14th mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Democrats would back more restrictive gun laws, seized the opportunity, and spent a lot of money on trying to take this office, and they have succeeded. This article further says, traditionally, those seeking to be agriculture commissioner have an extensive background in agriculture. Caldwell and Putnam both fit this mold, coming from a longtime family of farmers. By contrast, Fried is a Miami lawyer with no background in agriculture. She fought foreclosures during the housing crisis and made gun control and medical marijuana her top campaign issue. Quote, she promised to end the National Rifle Association's influence over the state's concealed carry permit program and has been quoted as wanting, quote, to reform the law of Second Amendment through, and it is unclear how she intends to reform the law. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in danger in the state of Florida with the right to keep and bear arms and conceal weapons permits. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over your question and comment, please.
Well, it seems to me pretty logical. I'm glad you're touching this. You did a great analogy there a minute ago with the car, and you got the right to have it, but we're going to strip you of all useful of all potential use of the car. But it's been simply put. Never, never trust a politician that doesn't trust you with a gun. And for anybody out there listening, I dare you to call in and try to explain how one more law will prevent any of these criminal acts, the mass shootings, as they call them, and even though it doesn't really fit, the mass shootings and such, often does not fit. The reality is, government by government, as they become more abusive and more tyrannical, at a certain point, they feel the need to seize guns. It's amazing how the two things that are under assault in our culture today by the left happen to be the Bible and guns. The Bible, when Congress early on commissioned its printing, it was done on the basis that a people that know their Bible can never be enslaved. When it comes to taking guns, King George tried that in 1775 there in Lexington and Concord. the approach was, we will take away your ability to defend yourselves. There's a congressman that recently opened his pie hole and had something to say along the line of, oh, y'all think, you know, that's to guard against tyranny. And if there's really ever a fight between the people and their government here in the United States, well, the government has nukes. You go, really?
Yeah, that's the nut. That's the nut from California, Swalwell.
Can you believe that he literally let those words cross his lips?
That shows what's in his heart. I've watched him a number of times since he's interviewed by Tucker Carlson, and every time he's interviewed, he opens his mouth and shows his absolute stupidity when it comes to anything called constitutionality in the republic that we have, the constitutional republic. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned that about the firearms, because George Washington said firearms are second only to the Constitution in importance, that are the people's liberty's teeth.
Right. Absolutely. The, you know, calling a pistol an equalizer many, many years ago, it was completely fitting, because you have a 90-year-old woman, and that pistol can make her the equal to a 300-pound thug. Now, you tell me, it seems like many times the left plays to this argument of protecting poor, innocent victims by disarming honest citizens. It doesn't make any sense. 90-year-old grandma is at home all by herself. I took a lady home recently, and I actually thought about this. I'm going, this poor lady is going to this end of this house, and she's all alone. What happens? What happens if somebody's waiting for her? What happens when somebody's beating on the door and says, oh, like at Tucker Carlson's house, they kick the door until they crack the door. Fortunately, they walked away. What if they come into the home? What if and you just picture that 90-pound little old grandma all by herself, and she's frantically trying to call 911. That'll be there to put a chalk line around her corpse.
Yes, in fact, when you say that about Tucker Tucker Carlson's house, all I can say is, if they were to circle and try that at my house, God help them. They need to be prayed up and ready to be dispatched.
Right. My goodness. The reality is, law enforcement arrives in minutes when seconds count. The ability to keep and bear arms now goes far beyond. It goes far beyond hunting. It goes far beyond self-defense. But the reality is, lacking those, you've literally taken an entire citizenry and made them prey to evil, tyrannical government, not just local government, but international government. We've been free for so long, we don't know what it's like to be slaves.
Absolutely, absolutely. You touched on it, because Samuel Adams said, the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States, who are peaceable citizens, from keeping their own arms.
Amen. I mean, I think of so many areas of trouble. If you lived along the border, one of these border communities in Texas, New Mexico, Southern California, Arizona, what if you lived there? You've got a 1,000-acre farm, and every night a dozen people cross the border, and one night a group of those folks decide they want to come a-knocking. They want to come a-knocking, and they don't have pleasant intents. Will you call Border Patrol then? Well, you call 911. What are you going to do? There are 20 of them now. What are you going to do? The reality is, and again, that is just the tip of the iceberg. Guns are not just intended for that home defense. They're not just intended for the little old lady. They're not just intended for hunting. They're intended for every sort of protection. People go, they're dangerous. Guess what? By design, they're dangerous. If you're on the dangerous end of that gun, you ought to be concerned. But if it's amazing how the left always points at how horrible these police officers are. You know, they're shooting these innocent people all over the place, if you believe the left. Now, those same people on the left want to disarm the citizenry and make sure the only people that can have guns are those police officers that they say are horrible. Tell me where this makes any sense for an individual. You're in Congress. You're in the Senate. You're a agriculture commissioner, and you hate guns. I got news for you. The only way I'm even going to listen to you is if you disarm yourself and disarm your security team. If you're for no border protection, the only way I'm even going to listen to you is if you pull the door off its hinges on your front door and take your fence down. Then maybe we can have an honest discussion. I'll think you're honest enough to have a discussion is what I really mean.
Yes.
These folks,
Here's this. Here's a brief article, and you touched on it about this. I believe you pronounced his name Swalwell, Eric Swalwell, Democrat of Democrats. You should know that, of California, boasted about the U.S. government having nuclear weapons at their disposal if gun owners went to war against their own country. It began with a Twitter used claim Swalwell would spark a war by trying to force gun owners to get rid of the assault weapons, et cetera, et cetera. He responded by noting that you realize the government has nuclear weapons. and he literally is the laughing stock of the Democratic Party, the socialist left. But nevertheless, he is in a position that he's making a lot of decisions in relationship to our gun ownership. In fact, it was George Mason that said, to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave the people of America. And I find it downright onerous when the state of, I believe it is Massachusetts, has perhaps the most onerous, tight gun control laws in the nation. Let me just read your brief article and then get you to respond to it. It says, this is the toughest gun law in America. A 30-something-year-old man sought to buy a rifle here last September. And if he had been living in almost any other part of the country, he could have done so easily. But he couldn't do that in Massachusetts because the state requires the would-be gun owner to get a permit first. That means going through a much longer process and undergoing a lot more scrutiny. Each applicant, this is in Massachusetts, each applicant for a gun permit must complete a 4-hour gun safety course, get character references from at least two people. He must show up at the local police department for fingerprinting and a one-on-one interview with a specially designated officer. Police must then do some work on their own, searching department records for information that wouldn't show up in any official background check. If the police come to believe an applicant is a possible threat or a public safety, they can refuse the gun permit. Now, here's the kicker. Police records show 8 visits to this man's home, 2008 through 2012, each time in response to calls from family members concerned about his behavior. On one occasion, according to the police account, the man had punched a picture frame and lacerated his own hand. Another time, he had been wielding a knife and threatening to commit suicide. Officers took the man into protective custody after 3 visits. The report said at nearly all of them, he was intoxicated, end quote. And as a result of that, and by the way, they've started now in some states that if you want to get a permit for a weapon, they're going to search your social media and see what you've said and how you've talked. What we're doing, I believe, is we're getting to the point with the gun control advocates to the point that if you have sneezed on an expressway, on the express lane at a certain time at 4 o'clock in the evening with high traffic, that somehow, some way you are disqualified to get a gun permit.
I don't like name calling, but the reality is these leftists, these liberals, these Democrats, they're termites. These folks, when I say they're termites eating away at the very foundation of America. Every little freedom that you hold dear, even this right to free speech, it's protected by the Second Amendment. Governments all over the world, when they're able to take away the guns, they're able to take away every other right that you have. It blows my mind that the termites have been at work. They're at work in Florida. They're at work in Tennessee. You know, termites years ago in the state of Tennessee made it so you got to pay an extra little tax. It's an extra tax on ammunition. Well, I got news for you. If it's okay for them to do a little extra tax, what if they do a real big extra tax? You know, across America, we have carry permits and carry concealed permits and handgun carry permits. And then, of course, the permit to go look at the gun and touch the gun before you buy the gun in places like Illinois. It's insane. It's absurd. But I've got a question for you. Can they sell you a permit? I'm sorry. Can they sell you your right by calling it a permit? If you have a right as a citizen, as a non-criminal citizen of the United States, do they, as government, have a right to sell you that right back?
Well, therein lies the problem. The problem is, as you and I both are aware, it is the permitting process. Then by that permit itself, it says as the state is concerned, the government is concerned, we have the right to control your constitutional right and tell you whether or not that right is going to be in some way infringed. In fact, it was Thomas Jefferson that said, the Constitution of our United States asserts that all power is inherent in the people, that it is their right and their duty to be at all times armed. Now, that's a far cry from where we are today. In fact, as you are aware, and perhaps our listeners are aware also, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413. 401-1413 gets you straight through to the studios and right to our microphones that you can ask your question or join in the dialogue. But as you know, and we're talking about the eroding of our, the ebbing away, the eroding of our freedoms in America. But today, for example, and you're aware of this, that we still have the right to keep and bear arms, but that right is infringed upon. If you've got a weapon, you must have a trigger lock on. If you've got a weapon, you must have it in a locked box. If you've got a weapon, the ammo cannot be in it. If you've got a weapon, the ammo must be someplace in a closet down the hall in a locked box in and of itself. Some states, you can't even buy ammo. In fact, just a couple of years back, as you know, they tried to restrict Walmarts and say that Walmarts could not sell ammunition. In fact, that's one of the ways that they're going to continue to try, because right now ammunition has skyrocketed in the past 10 years to the point that many do not have the opportunity to buy ammo for their own weapons.
It's absurd, but you know, this is, again, the work of termites. But, you know, by the way, you have tons of folks, oh, we just want reasonable legislation. And you go, well, hold on a second, don't we have, like, reasonable, you know, legislation? They always talk about background checks. Let's talk about background checks. You folks out there listening, check me, see if I'm wrong. 1 year, I think it's 2011, 2012, 80,000, more than 80,000 folks were denied the purchase of a firearm because they failed their background check. In that year, there were 44 arrests and convictions of those over 80,000. Do you think can we take a government seriously that talks about, let's have background checks? You know, they pull that stuff. Can we take them seriously when they do nothing with the, you know, 79,900 and however many more failed those background checks? Most of them were, many of them, sorry, were felons that it was a felony for them to attempt to buy a firearm. Now, they want to regulate us honest, God-fearing, decent, patriotic American citizens. You never find the left where they're going after the criminal. They're going after the bad guy. No, they want to make you a bad guy. Do you understand?
Yes.
This is what's going on in this world.
In fact, in the state of Washington, they've just introduced by legislation a bill. It's number 1639. It was approved in the state of Washington that greatly restricts the right to keep and bear arms. The National Rifle Association's already filed suit against them for the infringement on our Second Amendment rights. But that's not the only state. Across this nation, we're having that over and over and over again. And it's not just our Second Amendment rights that we're seeing. It is the freedom of speech, for example, in many, many areas of the infringement on the freedom of speech. You can have freedom of speech only at home, only at certain specific places, only at certain specific locations, only if you're not speaking about subjects that are controversial, only when government permits you to do so, et cetera, et cetera. And it seems like what I see taking place is that we have a sense with the populace in America that says, well, government says that settles it. We need to simply abide by it. But I am concerned because from a Christian perspective, one of the greatest liberties that's at danger is our religious liberties and freedom of speech as Christians. And if the right to keep and bear arms and if our right of freedom of speech or if those two First and Second Amendments are infringed upon, we're in grave, serious danger as far as the church is concerned, as far as Christians are concerned in America. We've got about a minute left. Tell me what we need to say as a wrap up that our people need to hear today.
You know, I'm not sure how many pastors may be listening out there, but there was a group they tagged as the Black Robed Regiment during the time of the Revolution. Pastors that were willing to stand up and speak up, pastors that published their sermons and disseminated them through the community, talking about the tyranny of King George and how what he was doing was so anti-biblical, anti-God, anti-decent. And those pastors had a backbone. So I pray that we'd have pastors and teachers and preachers that would stand up, that grow a backbone and call out these things that are wrong that we see taking place in government today. And I thank you for you being one of those pastors and teachers that's willing to take a stand.
Well, I am thankful for the opportunity. And one of the things that I have said, and perhaps you have said the same thing also, is that we need to take a stand, and preachers and Christians need to grow a backbone. We need to stand up and speak up and be seen and be heard. In fact, Patrick Henry said, we should not forget that the spark that ignited the American Revolution was caused by a British attempt to confiscate the firearms of the colonists. But ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted that you joined with us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.